Hi there. Yahweh bless you. We're going to do some good teachings on tonight. And this is really going to be part one of a two-part series, since I think I'm going to be doing it next week also. So I thought, okay, I can make this a two-part. I don't have a two-part series. I don't have to do it all at once. So, Melania, why don't you give us a thank Yahweh for this fellowship.
Thank you, Yahweh, for this fellowship and for everyone watching, and for us to hear your word and respect it and read it. Amen.
Through Christ, amen. Okay. So our subject is going to be a classroom. So this is a teaching on teachings. A lot of information, but it's concerning hell, and what's that got to do with the Bible? How it came about? What does the Word of Yahweh actually say in these matters? And so we're going to do like a study, and it's going to take quite a bit to get through there because it goes back so far. So we'll begin with Christians who are willfully illiterate or benighted. And benighted means in the darkness. And so when you have a book like this that everybody has access to, and you believe fables, either two things are happening. You're not reading the book. Those fables aren't in this book. But the other thing is you're doing both, but you disregard this book. You know, it doesn't take precedent. And good example is at the Roman Catholic Church. Most Protestants can agree that with the Roman Catholic Church. They can say, okay, Mary is a virgin, perpetual virginity of the Blessed Lady. So she was virgin all her life. We know that she was, according to the Word, she was a virgin with her first child, her firstborn. But then she had other sons, which is very apparent, and which we'll see. Let's just go to, you go to a Catholic, and let's go to Luke 2, verse 6 and 7. And so let's see if Mary was a virgin all her life. Luke chapter 2. That's page 57 in the New Testament. And we'll do the same thing with hell. So what we're trying to show is something that's so part of religion that you would say, well, how could that not be? Well, I'll show you very simply, let's not be. And every Protestant, though, this has nothing to do with the Scriptures. And there's 1 billion Catholics, Roman Catholics. You got 1 billion people. But 2, verse 6 and 7. You want to read that, Elijah?
And it came to pass, while they were there, that the days were fulfilled for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son.
Let's start there. Yeah. To her what?
Firstborn.
Firstborn. So there had to be more than one. Very simply. So here's the scriptures talking about her firstborn. Now we go to Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 13.
13.
I'm sorry, not 10. So that's saying there's more than one. Chapter 13, verse 53. That's not right. No.
That's
chapter, right. Chapter, chapter 13, verse 53. I got one on the 15.
Page
50,
Master. Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
And it came to pass, when Yahushua had finished these parables, he removed from thence, and coming into his what? Own city. So do people know who he is?
Yeah.
This is where he was raised. Began teaching them in their synagogue, so that with astonishment were they being struck. And we're saying, whence hath this one this wisdom and the mighty works? Is not this one the carpenter's son? They knew him, right? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brethren James and Joseph and Simeon and Judas, four brothers? And his sisters, are they not with us? Well, very simply. So Mary was not a virgin for what they call it, perpetual virginity of the Blessed Virgin. The scriptures refute that. And there's no scripture that ever says that.
Yeah.
But 1 billion people are going to take that and say the scriptures are wrong. And so my mother even took that into, she's a Catholic, and went into the priest and said, what about this? He said, oh, they called everybody brothers and sisters back then. You know? And as you can see, this has no context. These are coming back in, and we know everything about that. So but that's what they dug into. So that is very apparent. Now, how about our own lives? Let's just talk about hell. Well, hell is part of Christianity. Well, no, it's not. And very simply, hell is never, the word hell is never used in the Rotherham Bible. It's not in the Greek or Hebrew text. It's not used in the Rotherham Bible or the Young's Bible. But we're going to go back further to the Septuagint. And this is where many of this began. The Septuagint, can somebody tell me what the Septuagint is, Isaiah?
A place? A place?
No, nobody's ever told you.
A verb?
No. The Septuagint was the, it was 250 BC, right around there. And it was a translation of the Old Testament from Hebrew into Greek. And this is where major problems came about. One thing, they named the book, and the names they gave them were Greek and Latin. Mm-hmm. And that's Genesis is a Greek word. It's not a Hebrew word. Another thing they did is they rearranged the order of the books. And they separated books. There's actually in the Old Testament canon, there's only 24 books, which is perfect because 24 is the number of worship for Yahweh.
Oh, yeah.
And not 30, I think there's 36 or 39 when they break them down. Malachi is not the end of the Old Testament, it's 2 Chronicles. And that's the line of the king of Yahushua, and Matthew is the first book, which is Yahushua as king. So the Septuagint did that, and they changed the Hebrew words into Greek words.
And also, 1st and 2nd Chronicles was one book.
Yeah, one book. 1st and 2nd Kings was one book.
1st and 2nd Samuel.
The prophets were all basically one book. And so it was all based on the law, the prophets, and the writings. So Yahushua had classified into three groups. And that's how the books were done. So that is the problem. It's 250 years before Christ is even born. Yeah, you know, the United States is 250 years. So think of people reading that. And you look how bad it is right now. In one generation, John 3:16 has been wiped out. Mm-hmm. Under the you know, under the nose of every pastor. And they don't care. So the only begotten son is gone from the NIV and the New Living Translation. The only begotten is gone from all their Bibles. And that just happened, bink. Is anybody bringing attention to it? No, nope, we are. But that's how easy corruption comes in. And when you're talking about corruption, it's obviously from Satan, the ultimate. We're going to find out first that man is a terrestrial being. So let's just go back. If you want to know about hell, let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And this is also about heaven. So with Christianity, suppose, you know, quote unquote Christianity today, it's all about heaven and hell. And neither one of those things are scriptural. So 1:26, let's see what man's purpose was. And Elohim said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. And over the bird of the heavens, and over the tame beast, and over all the what?
Land.
The land. What are we talking about? Earth. And then this is the other important thing, too. Why we're doing this, I'm doing this teaching, and so every one of you can explain this to people. It's just common sense. So let's just go back to Genesis. If hell and heaven are going to be any place, it should be in Genesis 1 through 4. And it's not. But there is something there, and it's called paradise. And man is over the land and over every creepy thing that creepeth on the land. And Elohim created the man in his own image, and the image of Elohim created he him, male and female created he them. And Elohim blessed them, and Elohim said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the what? The earth. The earth is never mentioned any place in Christendom today. You know, the thousand-year millennium doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, the whole Old Testament is gone. And actually, the New Testament gone, and Revelation is gone. You know, it's amazing that we have to struggle to come back to that we're actually terrestrial beings and not celestial beings. Messengers are celestial beings. Their job is in the heavens, and we're to be on the earth. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the bird of the heavens, over every living thing that moveth on the land. And if you keep going right through, it's always about the land. Now we go to Genesis 2, verse 8. And Yahweh Elohim planted a garden in Eden on the east and put there the man whom he had formed. Okay, there's the Garden of Eden. Now we go to verse 15. And so Yahweh Elohim took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. That is our purpose. Mankind's purpose was to take care of the Garden of Eden, not to go to heaven. Yeah. And live in heaven. This is why Yahweh made the earth. We go to Psalms 8.
Page 531.
But don't you what we're going to find out is, being on the earth causes a lot of problems. Because if it's all about the earth, when I die, I can't get to heaven immediately.
Yeah.
So this really causes the problem. The word begotten causes the problem. Because that means Yahushua was born. And we can't really have that if he's a God. And so let's get rid of the begotten. And what the NIV in them says, for Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. They're going to say his one and only son. It's not what the scriptures say. But begotten has always caused a huge problem. So let's just get rid of it. And we got to get rid of the earth. If we're going to have man living in cities in heaven with buildings and streets and all sorts of stuff floating someplace. Then we'll go to Psalms 8. This is a great psalm. O Yahweh our Lord, Adon, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. On page 531, everybody there? Good. Who has set thy splendor upon the heavens. Out of the mouth of children and suckling hast thou laid a foundation of strength, because of thine adversaries to make foe and avenger be still. When I view thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, moon and star, which thou hast established, what was weak man that thou shouldst make mention of him? So this is all about man. And the son of the earthborn, that thou shouldst set him in charge of what? The earth. That thou shouldst make him a little less than Elohim. Messengers of God is the footnote, it's Elohim. With glory and honor should crown him, should have given him dominion over the works of thy hands, not messengers. All things should have been put under his feet, sheep and oxen, all of them, yea, even the beasts of the fields. This all agrees completely with Genesis 1 and 2. He says, you have dominion over all these animals. And they're not in heaven, they're on the earth. The birds of the heaven, the fish of the sea, and the passers by the path of the seas, O Yahweh, our Adon, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. So it's always the earth. Go to Hebrews 2:5. That's page 224 in the New Testament. You can write that down. And if you read chapter 1 and 2, it's always comparing messengers to Yahushua or man. Messengers, as you can see right in 14, are they not all spirits doing public service for ministry set forth for the sake of them who are about to inherit salvation? So we're talking about messengers. Now in Hebrews 2:5, for not unto messengers hath he subjected the coming what? Habitable earth, of which we are speaking. But who has he subjected the coming habitable earth? And it's man. And that is called the new earth, which we will see. And we go to Matthew 5:5, and that's on page 3 in the New Testament. Milan, you want to read that?
Yes. What verse?
5, verse 5.
Happy the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
There we go. Happy are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Well, that just doesn't even come into anything. According to Christianity, the earth has no bearing whatsoever on anything. Wrong. You know, what they're doing is completely contradicts scriptures. Now, we also find out is when we got hell, we got heaven, and we have this, the church teaches as this everlasting soul that we all have. Mm-hmm. And no, scripture doesn't teach that either. So let's go to Genesis 1:20, and it's called Nephesh. They say man has a soul. And he does not. No scripture ever says that. It says just the opposite. In 1:20, you want to read that, Isaiah?
Yeah. And Elohim said, let the water swarm with
abundance.
Abundance of living soul and birds shall fly over the earth, over the face of the expanse of the heavens.
Stop right there, but let the water swarm with abundance of living nephesh. Other Bibles aren't going to have that. They're going to say creature. So they're not going to see the word soul. So they're going to erase it. So just give you an idea how diabolical these translations, quote unquote translations are. The NIV does not translate nephesh soul until it's been used 170 times. And then when it looks like it's pertaining to something that's part of a person, then they're going to translate it soul. Because now it validates our teaching on the soul.
Sorry, Daddy, can you repeat that?
So they're not going to translate nephesh soul until it validates what the church teaches.
Okay.
When it doesn't validate what the church, when it disagrees with what the church teaches, they use different words like creature. And you would never know that's the word soul. So they're going to say man is spirit, soul, and body. No. Just very simply. That would be in Genesis.
Yeah.
So we have to realize that this is, if man was a three-part being, he would be in Genesis. And if his soul, who can live apart from the body, and this is the thing that goes to heaven or to hell, it would be in the book of Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we look at 2:7, animals are a living soul, but also man's a living soul. So then Yahweh Elohim formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living nephesh. They removed that too. So now all the new Bibles will say being, became a living being. The old King James has soul, but everybody says that doesn't, let's don't do that. And so they've erased that also. Well, animals are living souls, living nephesh, and so is man. They don't have a nephesh, they are a living nephesh. Big difference. And this is interesting too. We've got to keep it in perspective. On the sixth day, what did Yahweh create?
Man.
Yeah, what did he create first? Land animals. They're all on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
So for one reason, we separate the sixth day as man. No, this here is verse 23.
One more chapter.
Chapter 1 of Genesis. So it was evening and it was morning, a fifth day. Okay, day 6. And Elohim said, let the land bring forth living soul after its kind, tame beasts and creeping things, the wild beasts of the land after its kind. It goes all the way through here. So man and land animals were made on the same day. So what are you saying here? This is what the scriptures teach. We did make a certain day just for mankind.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most of the time we would see it that
yeah.
way. But it's not that way.
I always thought so.
Yeah. Man's creation. Now, we're going to go into man's creation, of what he has created. And this is where we're talking about hell and heaven. On actually what they say. Hades, and there is a Greek word Hades that's used. Hades is a god. in Greek mythology. Hades was a brother of Zeus and Poseidon. After the overthrow of their father, Cronus, he drew lots with them to share the universe. He drew poorly, which resulted in becoming lord of the underworld and ruler of the dead. Nevertheless, he was not considered to be death itself, as this was a different god called Thanatos. This is very interesting. So we have a god, Hades. Now, Revelation 13, it says, death and Hades will be thrown into the lake of fire, right? You see the word Hades, that's a god. And the word death is Thanatos.
Huh.
That's a god.
Interesting.
Yeah. So Thanatos is used 119 times. Greedy like his brother Poseidon, he was mainly interested in increasing his subjects, and anyone whose deeds resulted in people dying was favored by him. This is back to Hades. The Greeks were not keen on uttering his name, a phrase that caused some kind of reaction that would end up with them dead sooner. Instead, they decided to give him another name, Pluton, derived from the Greek word for wealth, due to the precious metal mined from the earth. So thus, Hades also became the god of wealth. Although Olympian, Hades preferred the underworld and rarely left his kingdom. His weapons were a pitchfork, which he had used to create earthquakes, similar to the way Poseidon used his trident. He also had a helmet of invincibility, which he had received as a gift from the Cyclopses, in order to use it during the Clash of the Titans. Now, you have to say, in the Septuagint, the word Sheol is going to be translated, what do you think? What Greek word?
Hades.
Hades. And so now Hades, the god Hades, is in the Hebrew Old Testament. And so is Thanatos, because death and Hades. So Thanatos was the demonic representative of death in ancient Greek mythology. And when you say demon is not a bad word. Demon, according to Greek, is a lesser god. And he'll say here, demonic here is used with its classical meaning, which refers to benevolent or benign natural spirits. So Thanatos did not play a major part in Greek mythology and rarely appeared in any stories, as he was mostly displaced by Hades, the god of the underworld. Thanatos was believed to be merciless and indiscriminate, and both mortals and gods hated him because he could sometimes be outsmarted. And what's very interesting about Thanatos and Hades was people were alive in the underworld.
Yeah.
And that's what they ran. They ran the underworld.
Yeah.
Those words are in the Greek New Testament, and they're in the Septuagint. And so people were reading this 250 years before Christ. Sheol, you know, is a whole different thing, which we'll discuss later. Now listen to this. Now this is Thanatos, which was, like I said, used 199 times in the Greek New Testament. Now here is what a concordance states what these word means. And we know it means death. It's supposed to represent a moose, which we'll get into, just means dead. And it says, you shall die. When it says in the garden, you shall die. But Thanatos is a god of the underworld, and you don't die. Because nobody dies in Greek mythology. So here's what this here's what the concordance says. Thanatos means the death of the body. The separation, whether natural or violent, of the soul and the body by which life on earth is ended, with the implied idea of future misery in hell. The misery of the soul arising from sin, which begins on earth but lasts and increases after the death of the body in hell. The miserable state of the wicked dead in hell. And so they're saying this is what this word means. And that's the Greek god, Thanatos. Have no bearing whatsoever in the word of Yahweh. So Thanatos, in classical usage, the psuche lives on, the psuche, and that would be the soul, in Greek that's the soul, lives on as the vital force in the cosmos. And so this is what people taught, and we're going to see with Plato and Aristotle. So Plato said, on this basis, the hope arises that the soul will live on. Aristotle follows the same reason, except that for him, it is the nous, which is the mind, that survives in some obscured way. In Hellenistic usages, Neoplatonicism, bodily life is here regarded as involving death for the psuche. The soul attains true life only by progressive release from the body. Death is good inasmuch as it completes this release, but suicide is an illegitimate way of hastening the process. So you can't commit suicide. We're talking about hell in Greek mythology. Let's see here. We'll stop on that one. Now, this is Josephus. Now, Josephus wrote he was a Hebrew that wrote the history. And it was about 100 A.D. And this is very fascinating. So, William Winston was a friend of Isaac Newton, who actually translated the Greek into English on the works of Josephus. So, Josephus is very famous. This is an extract out of Josephus' discourse to the Greeks concerning Hades. Now, what we have to see is, this is what his Hebrew thought, and let's see if it has any bearing to Scripture of any kind. Now as to Hades, wherein the soul of the good things they see and rejoice in the righteous and unrighteous are detained, it is necessary to speak of it. Hades is a place where the world is not regularly finished, a subterranean region wherein the light of this world does not shine from which circumstances, and that in this reason the light does not shine. It cannot, but there must be in it perpetual darkness. This region is allotted as a place of custody for souls, ill which angels are appointed as guardians to them who distribute to them temporal punishment agreeable to every man's one's behavior and manner. In this region, there is a, and this is what people, Hebrews, believe in 100 A.D. So, in this region, there is a certain place set apart as a lake of unquenchable fire. Whereunto we suppose no one hath hitherto been cast, but it is prepared for a day aforementioned determined by God, in which one righteous sentence shall deservedly be passed upon all men. When the unjust and those who have been disobedient to God have given honor to such idols, have been the vain operations of the hand of men, as to God himself, shall be adjudged to this everlasting punishment, as having been the cause of defilement, while the just shall obtain the incorruptible and never fading kingdom. They are now indeed confined in Hades, but not in the same place where the unjust are confined. So now we have Hades in two different compartments. And it's the soul that's in these compartments. Now this next one's going to really pertain to Luke 16, which is the rich man and Lazarus. The parable Yahushua talked about. But as to the unjust, that would be Lazarus. They are dragged by force to the left hand by the angels allotted for punishment, no longer going with a good will, but as prisoners driven by violence, to whom are sent the angel appointed over them to reproach them, and threaten them with their terrible looks, and to thrust them still downward. Now those angels that are set over those souls drag them into the neighborhood of hell itself, who, when they are hard by it, continually hear the voice of it and do not stand clear of the hot vapor itself. But when they have a near view of this spectacle as of a terrible, exceeding great prospect of fire, they are struck with a fearful expectation of a future judgment, and in effect punished thereby. And not only so, but where they see the place of the fathers and of the just, even hereby are they punished. For chaos deep and large is fixed between them. And see, this is rich man Lazarus. There's a chasm between us. And he says, Father Abraham, let me tell my brothers, have Lazarus. He said, there's a chasm between you. You can't cross. insomuch that a just man that hath compassion upon him cannot be admitted, nor can one that is unjust, if he were bold enough to attempt to pass over it. And so we're seeing where all these teachings come from. And it's not from the scriptures, it's from the pagan gods of this world. This is the discourse concerning Hades, wherein the soul of all men are confined unto a proper season, which God hath determined. Now, the church today say they're all in heaven or hell. They're not here. And they're going to say Hades is hell, but it is not hell. When he will make a resurrection of all men from the dead, not procuring a transmigration of soul from one body to another, but raising again those very bodies which you Greeks seem to be dissolved, do not believe the resurrection. And so the Greeks, you know, when Christ said, or Paul talked to him about the resurrection on Mars Hill in Athens, they said, ah, we'll hear you again of another matter. So then the body was a weight to get rid of. And so the Platonic, thought once you died, you're actually free from your body. But learn not to disbelieve, for while you believe that the soul is created and yet is made immortal by God according to the doctrine of Plato, and this in time be not incredulous, but believe that God is able, when he hath raised to life that body which was made as a compound of the same elements, to make it immortal. Let's see here. Next part. But lie to the lovers of wicked works, evil punishment. To these belong the unquenchable fire that without end, and a certain fiery worm never dying and not destroying the body, but continuing its eruption out of the body with never ceasing grief, neither will sleep give ease to these men, nor will the night afford them comfort. Death will not free them from their punishment, nor will the interceding prayers of their kindred profit them. So this is a Hebrew saying these things back in that time. So remember, Hades is all the way in the New Testament. It's used 11 or 12 times. And Thanatos is also used 119 times. And death and Sheol is what we're talking about, though. And we'll get into that later on. But death, the Hebrew word for death, is maveth, which is a noun.
Can you spell that, please?
M-A-V-E-T-H. So it's pronounced M-A-W-V-E-T-H, which is a noun and comes from muth, which is the verb. And so, you shall surely die is muth. That's the word maveth. And Sheol. And so Sheol is in nobody's Bible except for the New American Standard Bible. And let me just show you a little bit about Sheol. So this Bible is the ASV 1901. Okay, Tim, you don't want to read Genesis, is where that ribbon is. Genesis, the first uses of Sheol is Genesis 37, 35, and 36.
So, I'm sorry, what did you want me to read?
Read 35 and 36. And this is okay, Jacob. 35. So the context is Joseph has been told to his father that he has been killed by wild beasts. So this is the context.
Okay. 35. And his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted, and he said, "For I will go down to Sheol to my son mourning." And his father wept for him.
That's it. And in 1901, this Bible translated Sheol every place Sheol was used. This, you know, 115 years ago. Nobody wants this Bible. You know, the Rotherham he used the word Hades instead of Sheol to show you that they're the same word. So everywhere Sheol is used, he's going to put the word Hades. So in the Old Testament, that's Sheol. He's showing you that they're the same word. I wish he would have done Sheol for the Old and New Testament, not Hades. No other Bible does that. The New American Standard Bible keeps with that. But Young's did the same thing, too. So there's with the church today, with their Bible translation, the King James, nobody has any idea of Sheol. They have no idea that it even exists. And it's a proper place, and it's where the dead go. And let's just see Sheol, and let's just go to Psalms 6:5. Psalms 6, verse 5. Psalm 6,
you said that.
Psalm 6. Yeah, Psalms don't have chapters.
Page 531.
And from my memory, I believe there's about 20 places where death and Sheol are on the same verse. They go without. It's like spirit and power. So you can say spirit, that is to say power. Or you can say death, that is to say Sheol. Animals don't go to Sheol. But 6 verse 5. You want to read that, Melania?
Yeah. For in death is no remembrance of thee. In Hades, who shall give thanks unto thee?
There it is, but that's Sheol. So in death, that's Ma'death, and there's Sheol. We'll choose one more. Isaiah 682, 38:18. And I did a paper called Does Hell Exist in the Word of Yahweh? So that's on our website. It's under the category of hell, death, and something else. I forget what that is. But it's very important. Just go back to what the scriptures say. And like what the Catholics are saying, is what you teach is not in this book. And actually, the book says just the opposite of what you're teaching. And if we don't have that foundation, how can we help other people?
Yeah.
18. For Sheol cannot praise thee, nor death celebrate thee. They who go down to the pit cannot wait for thy faithfulness. And actually, Christendom says just the opposite. They say, in death, you're in heaven praising God. We just said here, for Sheol cannot praise thee, nor death celebrate thee. They who go down to the pit cannot wait for thy faithfulness. The living, he shall praise thee, as I do this day.
Yeah.
It's just complete contradiction to everything that all the people in heaven who are praising and singing. And so according to the church, the Christian church today, the hope is not Christ's return. The hope, what gets you into heaven fast?
Death.
So the hope of Christians is to die. And because you're in heaven immediately. And it's even better for children. So now think how demonic this whole teaching is impregnated, all from Greek mythology, which is obviously satanic mythology. Now, in those two verses, in the Septuagint, it's not going to be Maveh, Maveth, or Sheol.
Now, what is Maveth again?
Maveth is death.
Okay,
it's now
from
youth. But it's going to be Thanatos and Hades. These are the two gods. Because they're going to replace Sheol with Hades, and they're going to transfer Maveth with Thanatos. So this is the word, instead of transliterating, they go ahead and just grab a Greek word that's, well, we got a word like that, as it's Hades. And it's our two gods we'll throw into there.
And Hades is like a fantasy.
Yes. But that's the same teaching, what they're teaching is basically what the Christian church teaches today. Now, can I proceed on? So we think of heaven and hell, and a soul that lives forever should be in Genesis 1 through 4.
Yep.
Very important, because people are going to die in Genesis. So, you know, right? And we see that in 4, because Cain's going to die. And it says, if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die. And so it should be, okay, heads up. And that means what? Well, your body dies, but you're going someplace else. And with Cain, with Adam and Eve, it would say, you're not going to heaven, but you're going to where?
Hell.
So, Ellen, by the way, I didn't tell you what hell is. And what is hell?
Torture chamber.
A torture chamber. And by the way, I didn't tell you either, too, that you never die. Only your body dies. Right? So these are very important things to say, I think I need that information before I make this decision.
Yeah.
About sin. So Genesis 2, verse 8 and 9, we'll go. And Yahweh Elohim planted the Garden of Eden on the east and put man where he had formed. And Yahweh Elohim caused to spring up out of the ground every tree pleasant to the sight and good for food. And I guess I'm ahead of everybody. Mm. Everybody get there? I'm sorry. And so what does Genesis 1 through 4 actually tell us? What information? So think of yourself as an investigator. I have to look at what information is being given to me to make a judgment on what this communication is. And every tree pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay, well, that's good. Then I know man, according to Genesis 1 and 2, we're here because we're in charge of heaven, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, we're in charge of what?
Yeah, earth.
Earth. And there's a tree here that's called the tree of life, so it means if I take and eat of that tree, what's going to happen to me?
I'm going to live
forever.
I'm going to live as long as I keep eating of the tree of life. Okay, got it. And this other tree is called the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but if I eat of it, I'm going to do what?
Die.
Wait a minute. Did it say my body's going to die? Yes. Because I can't die. I guess Yahweh didn't communicate that, because he should have said, oh, by the way, you can't die. Only your body can die. Well, that wasn't communicated. Let's go to 15 through 17. So Yahweh Elohim took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden. That's where he belongs, not in heaven. To till it and to keep it. Work is always going to be involved on the new earth. And Yahweh Elohim laid command on the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what?
Die.
They should have said, thy body shall die, right? Because that's what the church teaches. Now, it has nothing to do with the body. Let's see, I got to make sure I don't. Oh. It'll be, let's see here. Now, so, the church really calls this the tree of heaven and the tree of hell, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not the tree of life. If you do this, it's the tree that puts you into heaven. Now, let me ask you this. If Adam and Eve did not take of the tree of death, where would they be today? In heaven? Where?
Huh.
Yeah. In the Garden of Eden. Now, they're terrestrial beings. Mm-hmm. They're not celestial beings. They are terrestrial beings. And if they would have eaten of the tree of life, they would be on earth and having everything subdued to them. And that's why it really, what Christ did was paradise regained. It's reclaiming the earth.
Yeah.
And that's what I hope Donald Trump does after Obama, to reclaim the earth. And we know in, let's go to Genesis 4, verse 8. And Cain said unto Abel his brother, let us go into the field. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew his body.
Nope.
Because you can't slay Abel, because they have everlasting life. according to the church. And no, but according to here it says he killed him. And when it says him, that means him. Well, what part of him do you mean? Body, soul, or spirit, soul, and body? No such thing. And that's only because we've got this garbage from Greek mythology, and obviously every religion says the same thing, basically. Now we go to 5:5. Here's Adam. Let's see here. So all the days of Adam, which he lived, were 930 years, and his body died.
Nope.
No. It says he died. And so we have this make-believe world. I'm getting pretty close. I guess I have about 5 more minutes. Let's go back to Genesis 3, verse 23. So Yahweh Elohim put him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground wherewith he had been taken. So he expelled the man and caused him to dwell in front of the Garden of Eden, cherubim and a banishing sword flame to keep the way to the what? Tree of life. It's not the tree of heaven. Let's go to verse 19 of chapter 3. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thou return to the ground. Well, it should be that thy body return to the ground, because when you die, your soul goes someplace else, either to hell or to heaven. That's not what the scripture says. Until thou return to the ground, because therefrom was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And so when people say, you're in heaven, they say, no, they're dust. It's like the scripture. What, you don't believe Genesis 3:19? You're saying, well, no, that doesn't mean them, that means the body. Well, let me just ask you something here. Let's just go through Psalms 90. We're going to do a bunch of psalms here about man, who's supposed to be this immortal being that all men never die. Let's just see what the scripture says about that. And that's page 577. verses 3-6. You want to read that, Wendy?
Thou causest man to return unto dust, and hath said, return ye sons of Adam. For 1,000 years in thine eyes are as yesterday, in that it passed away. Or as a watch in the night, thou hast snatched them away. Asleep do they become. In the morning they are like grass that shooteth up. In the morning it sprouteth and shooteth up, but by evening it is cut down and withered.
And so we're going to see man is but a vapor. Yeah. Let's go to Psalms 103, verse 4. For he knoweth how we are formed, he is mindful that dust we are. As for man, like grass are his day. Well, that's impossible, because all men have everlasting life, because their soul is everlasting. As for man, his grass are his for man like grass are his days, like the blossom of the field, so doth his blossom. For a wind hath passed over it, and it is gone, and its own place is acquainted with it no more. This is man. Let's go to Psalms 144. Three and four. You want to read that, Elijah?
O Yahweh, what is the earth born, and yet that hast acknowledged him, the son of a mortal, and yet thou hast taken account of him. The earth born resembleth a vapor, his days are like a passing shadow.
There we go. Let's go to 146. Verse 3. And 4. Want to read that, Isaiah?
Yeah. Do not ye trust in nobles, in the son of man, who hath no deliverance. His spirit goeth forth, he returneth in his ground.
His ground.
His ground. In the very day he thought
Perish. Thoughts perish. Now we go to James 4.
I thought 14. When you die, you're all knowing. Everything's explained to you.
Yeah.
Okay, what did you say?
James
4.
Chapter 4, and that is New Testament, page 237.
James.
Hebrew James.
That's right, Hebrews.
4:14. And it's good to go over this. This is more like a classroom. And so what we're going to do is just go, you know, instead of trying to punch it all together, just lay it out. And so you're very rooted and grounded. Men who are not versed in the morrow, of what sort your life will be. For you are a what?
Vapor.
A vapor. Yep. For a little appearing, then just disappearing. All the way through the scripture.
From dust
thou shalt return. And then it says that one thing differentiate between you and your body. So where we're getting heaven and hell and people abiding in different places is Greek mythology and other mythology, because man has a soul that must go someplace. And so once you incorporate that doctrine that this living entity, which is really you, has to be someplace.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the false premise. You've got a false premise in the first place by saying that. So we'll stop there till next week and continue.
Okay. You mean I'm not forever lasting?
Yeah. And here's a really good example, too. When if every man has everlasting life, and that's what the church teaches, it's everlasting in hell or it's in everlasting in heaven. So really what John 3:16 says now is, for Jesus so loved the world that he gave himself. For Jesus so unconditionally loved the world that he gave himself, that whosoever believeth him shall not have everlasting life in hell, but have everlasting life in heaven. But that's not what the scripture says. But that's what everybody believes. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish apolumai, no hell involved, but shall have heaven. You know, but shall have what? Life, age of body. It's always about life and death and never heaven or hell.